NBC's Inter-American University of the Air presents Chapter 6 of Lands of the Free. A story of piracy and of the war in North Africa to win for the world freedom of the seas.
The only way you can destroy these vandals is with an army. An army on land, Captain Barron. An army that will capture their cities along with their military and naval bases. A navy can blockade, Captain, but it takes an army to capture.
And I suppose you could raise an army to do it?
Yes. I'm going to do exactly that.
In the 1700s, the great Mediterranean belonged to the Barbary pirates. For the great sea powers of the Mediterranean were the nations of Morocco, Algeria, Tunis, and Tripoli, now called Libya. Their warships controlled the Mediterranean. No other vessels were allowed to sail upon its waters without paying tribute for the privilege.
Every maritime nation paid this tribute. France, Spain, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, and Britain. The 13 British colonies across the Atlantic did a considerable business in the Mediterranean, but the ships of the American colonies were protected by the tribute paid by the mother country. In 1776, the colonies declared their independence, and when trade in the Mediterranean was resumed in 1790, it was up to the United States to pay the tribute herself. Over the next 10 years, we paid the pirates of the Barbary Coast more than $2 million. No American relished paying tribute. Men who had fought to be free at home resented blood money to be free upon the seas. The result? War with Tripoli.
October, the year 1801. William Eaton, American consul at Tunis, leaves his office with a letter in his hand. There's a man at a table of a sidewalk cafe. A man in the uniform of the United States Navy, Captain Samuel Barron. He sees Eaton, he's angry, and he calls to the consul.
Eaton! I've got something to say to you.
What did you say?
You heard me, come here.
Listen to me, Captain Barron. Any time you want me, you know where you can find me, at the consulate. I'm not accustomed to being yelled at in the street.
No? Well, I'm not accustomed to having some whippersnapper of a consul write a letter to the Secretary of the Navy and say I'm not doing my duty. What's that you've got in your hand? Another letter about me?
Suppose it is.
Eaton, if you criticize me again to Washington, if you write about me without knowing what you're talking about, I'll have you thrown out of service. I'll break you, Eaton.
How would you like to try it now, Captain, right here on the street?
Sit down.
I thought you were looking for a fight.
I said sit down. Waiter.
Yes, sir, Captain.
What do you have, Eaton?
Brandy, please.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Now, Eaton, what's in that letter?
That's my business. Suppose you tell me, Barron, what are you doing ashore in Tunis?
That's my business.
Now, look here, Captain Barron. 4 months ago, the Pasha of Tripoli cut down the flagpole of the American consulate. Our flag was dragged in the dust. We're at war with Tripoli, Captain, remember? You and your command, the Philadelphia, were ordered to blockade Tripoli. And look at you, sitting here in Tunis at a sidewalk cafe.
Eaton, before you write another letter to Washington about me, understand this. I brought the Philadelphia into Tunis for water and provisions.
I want to know why you haven't been doing something off Tripoli.
Mr. Eaton, there are hurricanes up from Tripoli into the Mediterranean at this time of year, and it's impossible to blockade this coast.
Impossible? Is that a proper answer from a famous sailor?
Eaton, one of these days I'm going to get you under my command. Well, you can't write letters.
Stick to your point. I think I will tell you what's in my letter, Captain Barron. You might as well take it now. You'll have to take it later.
What do you mean?
You said it was impossible to blockade Tripoli because of gales and hurricanes, hmm?
I didn't mean impossible. I meant difficult. With only one ship, send me a squadron based on Malta,
And I'll wipe these pirates off the Mediterranean.
But don't you see, Captain, you won't destroy them.
Oh, won't I?
The only way you can destroy these vandals is with an army. An army on land, Captain Barron. An army that will capture their cities along with their military and naval bases. A navy can blockade, Captain, but it takes an army to capture.
And I suppose you could raise an army
and
do it?
Yes. I'm going to do exactly that.
You're what?
That's the purpose of this letter of mine to the Secretary of State.
Meddling again.
I'm not meddling, Captain. I want an army to cooperate with the Navy. I want to make a drive from Egypt into Tripoli by land, while the Navy attacks from the sea. Bring together both branches of the service, Army and Navy. And then we'll really be able to lick those rascals.
Very smart. And how do you expect to transport an army? All the way from the United States?
I won't have to, Captain. I intend to raise an army here.
Oh, I've always thought you were a fool, Eden. Now I know it.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you. But did you ever hear of Hamid Pasha?
You mean the one who used to be Pasha of Tripoli until his brother kicked him out?
Yes, that's right.
Well, what's Hamid got to do with it?
Well, come along with me, Baron, and you might be able to learn something.
Where to?
I have an appointment this afternoon at the house of Hamid Pasha, deposed Pasha of Tripoli. Your Excellency, Hamid Pasha, most exalted ruler of Tripoli.
Mr. Eaton, you are welcome, sir.
Thank you. May I present a distinguished officer of the Navy of the United States? Captain Samuel Barron, in command of the frigate Philadelphia.
Captain Barron, it is a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Hamid Pasha. Has Eaton told you about this ridiculous idea of his?
Please, just a minute, Barron.
An idea of Mr. Eaton's, did you say, Captain Barron?
He calls it an idea. Eaton thinks he can raise it.
One moment, please, Captain. Just to be sure that we're alone.
Your Excellency, do you mind if I close this door?
Of course not, Mr. Eaton.
Thank you.
Now, gentlemen, all this is extremely confidential. If we're overheard, it may be disastrous. To begin with, Your Excellency, I want to put you back on the throne of Tripoli.
Mr. Eaton, we have a saying, with the first rays of the rising sun, the caravan is ready. What is your plan?
It's a very simple one. My plan is to wipe out the pirates of the Barbary Coast.
An ambitious plan.
For a landlubber. Go on, Eaton.
Hamid, I understand you have many followers among the Arabs.
I have my followers, Mr. Eaton.
Enough to form an army?
If there is a general.
Well, I'll be able to take care of that.
You? Why, you wouldn't know the butt of a rifle from the muzzle.
You listen to me, Captain Barron. I joined the army of General George Washington when I was 16 and served through the war. I fought well enough to earn my commission as captain. And let me tell you, the odds we fought against the American Revolution would make any fighting here look like child's play. I'll take these Arabs of Hamid's and turn them into an army of wildcats. I'll storm the strongholds of Tripoli and tear them apart, stone by stone. I'll prove to you...
A regular fire-eater, aren't you, Eden?
At least I do something when I start, Captain. Instead of sailing up and down the coast on a ship that ought to be firing her guns.
I'm sure that Hamid Pasha isn't interested in our personal differences.
No. No, I suppose not. Well, are you with me in this plan, Hamid? If we succeed, there would be no more tribute paid here. There would be peace and freedom of the seas. And, of course, you'd have your throne.
Mr. Eaton, I am entirely with you. But I will have to see something more substantial than a mere idea. As you know, it is not safe for me, even here in Tunis, while my brother Yusuf has his army in Tripoli. I am even today leaving for Egypt. And if you wish to raise an army, it is a little matter of money.
Money.
Money. I told you, Eaton. He wants us to buy the throne for him.
Captain Barron, one of these days you'll regret that remark.
I've got something to say to you about one of these days. Let's get out of here. Hamid Pasha, it's been a pleasure to see you. I'm sorry I must leave to join my ship.
Good day, Captain Barron.
Good day to you, Mr. Eaton, my friend.
Goodbye, Your Excellency, and when we get to Egypt, please wait for me.
Well, Eaton, I hope you're satisfied with your tomfoolery.
I hope you're satisfied with the scene you put on, Baron. With the help of that man, one of these days we'll be able...
Eaton, one of these days I'm going to get you in the Navy. Under my command.
I'm an Army man, Captain, remember? And I happen to be in the consular service.
And when you are in the Navy under my command, we'll have a little argument to settle.
Very well, Captain. I'll take my chances on that. But right now, I'm going to lay the groundwork for action.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to mail this letter to the State Department. Tell them my plan, and then as soon as I can, get back to the United States.
In the spring of 1803, William Eaton left the Mediterranean area and returned to the United States. He talked to everybody in the government about his plan for a land and a sea attack on the Barbary pirates to secure the freedom of the seas, but the plan found little favor. Meanwhile, Captain Barron was also recalled to the United States, and his ship, the Philadelphia, put under command of Captain Bainbridge, part of a fleet of seven ships under the gallant Commodore Edward Preble, a new fleet of the young United States with orders to strike for the freedom of the seas. In Commodore Preble's command was a young man destined to become one of America's greatest naval heroes. This young man was Lieutenant Stephen Decatur. One evening, as the United States fleet stood off the coast of Tripoli, on board Preble's flagship, the Constitution, young Decatur approached the Commodore's cabin.
Come in.
Commodore.
Yes, Lieutenant Decatur? What is it?
Commodore, we've just picked up a man in a small boat, one of our own men.
What was he doing in the small boat, Lieutenant? Fishing?
I think he's the only survivor, sir, from the Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia?
Yes, sir.
What's happened to the Philadelphia? Bring that man in here. Bring him in, Decatur.
Yes, sir. Bosun, help that man in here to the Commodore's cabin.
Yes, sir.
Here, sailor. Take a drink of this.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Now, my man, what's happened to the Philadelphia?
She's took, sir. Captured.
Captured?
We was chasing the enemy, Commodore Preble. Right into Tripoli Harbor, we chased the pirates, sir. The old Philadelphia only a cable length behind.
And go on, man.
We hit a rock, sir. Right in the harbor, sir, fast the ground. Then did the devil swarm all over us, sir. Thousands of them. Took all hands prisoners, sir.
And you, sailor?
Me with the rest, sir. It was later I got away. After they'd floated off the Philadelphia with the tide and took her into the inner harbor, tied her up right under the guns of the fort. The rest are in the dungeons now, sir. Officers and men, 300 of them, sir. Chained in the dungeons under the fort. Commodore Preble, sir.
Well, sailor?
Your pardon, sir. The pirates, they're working on the Philadelphia, patching her up. They'll have her sailing again, sir, and then, sir, the Tripoli pirates will be using our own ship against the United States.
We've got to stop that.
Commodore Preble.
Well, Decatur?
We can stop it, sir. And with your permission, I'd like to do it.
May I ask how?
There's that catch, sir, that we captured from the pirates, the Intrepid. Tonight, with a crew of good men, I'd like your permission to sail the Intrepid into the harbor of Tripoli, come up under the Philadelphia, and before the Tripoli pirates know what's on them, carry out my plan. I'm sure that it'll work.
Easy there, men. Quiet with that rowing.
Quiet, men.
Any minute now, Ensign.
Lieutenant Decatur.
Yes?
There are guards in the Philadelphia's deck.
Not only guards, Ensign. They've got an armed crew aboard. There are only 74 of us. Ready, men? Ready with your weapons?
All ready, sir.
We're coming alongside. Grappling hooks.
Sir.
Up, men.
Yes.
Up our sides and attack.
That That night, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur and his men boarded the Philadelphia, drove her Barbary crew overboard, fired the vessel, and sank her under the very guns of the fortress of Tripoli. Admiral Nelson, British hero of the Battle of Trafalgar, called Decatur's action the most daring naval exploit of the age. News of Decatur's heroism reached the United States and earned Decatur promotion. But realization of the disaster, loss of the mighty Philadelphia, stirred the nation finally to action.